Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Health and Human Services Chief Information Officer. Frank, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
I'm happy to do it. Thanks.
So now, I had you on the show when you were the CIO over at the Social Security Administration. So you recently came over to HHS about 7 months ago. It's a little bit of a change going through the different pieces of the government, but how's it going over the last 7 months? How big of a change has it been going from SSA to HHS?
Being a federal CIO is quite comparable. You deal with lots of the same issues, in terms of security and mobility and managing your core systems. The biggest change, though, has been in terms of the mission of the agency and the way the agency is organized. So Social Security is an agency with a very clear, limited mission. Social Security pretty much does two things. It supports the nation's disability program, and it provides retirement benefits for people on Social Security. HHS, while it's all organized around public health mission, there are many missions under that, and there are many operating divisions. So we often use the word federated to talk about agencies like HHS, and that's been the biggest change, is dealing with the fact that there are IT staffs and CIOs at those operating divisions, each one pursuing a related but different mission. So at FDA, you have a regulatory mission. At NIH, you have a research mission. Trying to pull that all together and find opportunities for working together, collaboration, has been probably the primary thing I focused on the past 7 months.
One of the changes also that occurs to me is you're going from where SSA, you could do almost a command and control type of approach to more of a collaborative, let's bring everyone together in a council, let's make decisions together type of approach at HHS. Is that also been a change for you?
It has been. You don't get anything done, though, even in a command and control, as you call it, governance structure, without collaboration, without getting people to buy in and understand what you're doing, why you're trying to do it, and how it's going to help them to do what they have to do in support of the agency. So collaboration has to be part of being a CIO at any place in government. The difference at HHS, though, is that you have appropriations going to each of the operating divisions, and you need to work with the operating division to help them understand how collaborating with you on core, or I'd say foundational technology, is actually in their interest when they haven't been doing it up until now.
That must be the biggest area that you see is, okay, if everyone has an email system, why not get to one email system? It's that type of enterprise-wide or core technologies that you're probably starting to look at and starting the conversation and going down that path?
People have had to make do in the operating divisions because technology is relatively new. People have made those investments in things like email now for a little over 15 years. It's not something that's been around all that long. So now we have an opportunity to do things a little bit smarter and use more modern technology. Most importantly, though, from an operating division perspective, it's an opportunity to focus on those things that add greater value, those things that are mission critical, and allow those things that are not mission critical to be done by people who live and breathe them, like email as a service.
One of the things that the Office of Management and Budget is doing, Federal CIO Stephen Van Roekel, is trying to give CIOs like yourself a little more authority over the commodity IT spending. Can you talk a little bit about that memo from a year ago now and how that's kind of helping you kind of deal with those mission critical but still commodity IT?
Well, we went through this exercise, as you know, called PortfolioStat this past year. And PortfolioStat, at least in its initial incarnation, was focused on commodity IT. So it was an interesting exercise being at HHS doing this because as a federated agency, we really didn't have our arms around the ways we were spending IT throughout the department. And it resulted in an awful lot of work, but I think it's work that is going to benefit us in the long run, to go out to the operating divisions and find out what they've bought, how they buy it, and what we have that is similar or even redundant across the agency. So the PortfolioStat process resulted in greater awareness of our commodity IT. It was a really heavy lift, though, to get there, to try and pull all that information together. What we've done with it is prioritize a handful of things that we're going to work on during 2012-13 to try and move some of those commodity IT activities to department-level purchasing. Again, so that the operating divisions can focus on the non-commodity, the stuff where they understand the mission and they can add greater value.
What was the reaction from the operating divisions when you brought together that first portfolio stat, whether it was internally or with OMB, and start collecting this information? Did you get the sense that they were happy that it's happening versus, or they were, you know, grudgingly kind of taking part because they have to?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think the answer is it varies, and it varies not just by operating division, but by the technology that you're talking about. So take email as a service as an example. I'm a big believer in moving to email as a service. I think that it will not only provide better email, all of our email is reasonably good at this point, but it'll provide other features like collaboration as a service, and that will help us to collaborate as one enterprise, which is where we ought to be going. But the support from the operating divisions for email as a service varies because of where they are in their own maturity at this point. So a few years ago, before I came on to HHS, email was consolidated for the most part in the office of the secretary and was run within the office of the secretary. It wasn't done particularly well. And we've learned from that experience, but after the email was sent back out to the operating divisions, and we now have six email systems running across HHS, the operating divisions made varying investments. Some of them relatively recently have made investments in their exchange infrastructure. And so their support for moving to email as a service varies based upon the maturity of their investment and how recently they made it. Because if they've gone out and purchased a large infrastructure recently to run email, they haven't amortized it yet. And they're going to be less excited about moving to a single email service once again.
But at the same time, if you can show them how it will save them money by, let's say they went out and purchased some kind of Microsoft email, if you can move that to the cloud or move that to a shared service provider, even an internal cloud at HHS, for instance, that will give them ability to save money. Is that where kind of the biggest challenge it's been for you around portfolio stat to help them understand that the benefits of both money, better service, more functionality?
It is the core of the issue in helping them to understand that centralizing some of these functions actually will save them money. But as I said, it comes down to the investment that they've made and when they made that investment. So you're always going to have a situation when you try and centralize something that hasn't been centralized. There are going to be winners and losers. So some operating divisions will have made their investment some time ago, and they're getting ready to do it again. It makes economic sense for them to do it right now because their infrastructure is relatively mature. Other operating divisions have made the investment relatively recently, and from their perspective, it isn't in their interest. I have to look at it from a departmental perspective. And from a departmental perspective, consolidating these actually saves across the department. And when we can bring, take email as a service as an example, when we can bring 100,000 seats together, we can get much better pricing from the vendors. So from a departmental perspective, I understand that certain operating divisions may not see the economic advantage immediately, but they will in the long run. And the department certainly sees it at once.
Very nice. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's start jumping into some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Department of Health and Human Services Chief Information Officer.
Every year, someone checks out the safety of your car and tunes it up. Why? Because you want to make sure your friends and family are safe when traveling, and it improves the performance of your car, including its gas mileage. So what about your house? When was the last time you had someone give it a once-over for health and safety issues related to mold, mildew, gas leaks, or carbon monoxide backdrafting from gas-fired appliances? Would you know if you were paying more than you needed to for your energy and water every month? Want to find out? The Local Energy Alliance Program, or LEAP, is a community-based nonprofit that helps homeowners with these issues. LEAP works with local government and utilities to provide residents a one-stop shop of who to call, what to do, and how to pay for it for home energy improvements. LEAP is knowledgeable, trustworthy, and local. Contact LEAP today at ilikeleap.com. That's ilikeleap.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Department of Health and Human Services Chief Information Officer. Now, Frank, before break, we're talking about your change from SSA to HHS and how kind of the governance issues is really one of the big heavy lifts or biggest challenges that you're dealing with initially. One thing that maybe helped you moving into the HHS CIO role, you spent some time at the Food and Drug Administration as an entrepreneurial in residence. Give me a sense of that job and how did that kind of prepare you for the next step? Because you hopefully got some idea of how the agency works.
I learned about one corner of the Department of Health and Human Services, the regulatory activities done at the Food and Drug Administration. And in fact, one area of the FDA, the Centers for Devices and Radiological Health. It was an incredible experience and one that I hope we're going to continue to repeat throughout the agency in other areas. It was an opportunity to bring a group of people together who had different skill sets to solve a problem. The Centers for Devices and Radiological Health has many innovative devices coming before it for which there are no predicates. Nothing similar has been approved before. And we were asked to take a look at how do you develop an innovation pathway, a regulatory approval process for innovative medical devices going to market, making sure that they're safe and making sure that they get to market if they're going to help public health to get to market as quickly as possible. And that was the challenge that was before us. One of the things that we decided early on was that better collaboration between the FDA reviewers and their counterparts in industry would actually result in better designed clinical trials that met the needs of the Food and Drug Administration. Typically, applications for medical devices that are going to be approved are relatively large, thousands of pages, and they come in, and it takes a long time to review them and go back out with suggestions about ways to change the clinical trial. Instead, what we decided was perhaps there's a way we can encourage collaboration between the FDA reviewers and their counterparts in industry. And we deployed a collaboration tool using Salesforce.com as that tool to encourage more give and take between the Food and Drug Administration and industry so that they could get to a point where they actually identified what the expectations of the government were before the actual device request came into the Food and Drug Administration. It sped the entire process up, and we identified three companies, three devices to go on the innovation pathway as a beta test of that pathway to see how well these new mechanisms that we put in place to encourage quicker decision-making by the government as to whether or not a device can be marketed.
Interesting. Now, is this something that HHS is using widely, or did the FDA just happen to see a need and say, hey, we could use this new program and be one of the pilots for the entrepreneurial in residence, or is this something now that FDA and other HHS agencies are using more broadly?
I think it's going to be something that will be more widely available across HHS, but it was the leadership in the Centers for Devices and Radiological Health that said, you know, we have a problem here. There are new devices that are coming forward for which there's no predicate. We haven't approved them before, and we need to get them to market more quickly. If they're going to improve public health, we need to make them available. So they said, we have a problem. Maybe we can fix it. And they put together, as I said, a great team of people, both internal and external to government, whose focus was on delivering the innovative solutions to public health more quickly. As I said, I think that's the lessons learned from there are going to be more widely applicable across HHS, certainly across the FDA for the regulatory process. But it was a start in one area of the FDA devices. What could we do to get those devices to market more quickly?
Right, very nice. So that sets you up a little bit to get to know the FDA, get to know one corner of the agency. Now that you are at the agency, HHS CIO, give me a sense of your priorities. What are you hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
I think we need to operate more and more as one enterprise. While I pointed out that we have different missions, we have a research mission, we have a regulatory mission, we have an insurance mission in HHS, they're all in support of public health. And to the extent that we can operate increasingly as one enterprise, share knowledge, both our knowledge of public health, our ability to improve it, and we can advance science. So, for example, research that's going on at NIH would benefit from an awareness of new drugs and devices that are coming before the FDA. Sharing that information and sharing the registries that support the clinical trials that are going on helps to advance science. Over at CMS, they can take advantage of that as well. When they have to decide, do we support a new drug or a new device through Medicare, having that awareness into what the FDA is doing and having that awareness into what's going on at NIH helps to advance public health and science.
Well, information sharing, are you doing that through a specific data warehouse type setup or collaboration tool?
One of the things that we're dipping our big toe in the water for collaboration, a few weeks ago, we rolled out Yammer as a collaboration tool for the entire HHS enterprise. And we've seen remarkable uptake. NIH was already using it, from FDA, from the Office of the Secretary, all using Yammer to share information. We're seeing communities of practice emerge on Yammer where people are sharing knowledge that they have. Where people might ask, hey, I need a software tool to do the following thing. Does anyone have any suggestions? Or here's some research going on in breast cancer. Does anyone else have any insights on this besides my perspective? Those sorts of things are now happening because we've rolled out a tool that allows that collaboration, that communication to take place.
And if people aren't familiar with Yammer, what is it exactly?
For lack of a better description, Yammer is Facebook for the enterprise. It's an opportunity for people to share knowledge, to talk about what they're working on, to talk about questions that they have and ask for other people to offer suggestions about how to problem solve.
And do people, for instance, get an account and it's a HHS account, but everyone gets one, or is there communities of interest or a little bit of both?
People have to sign up for it. But what we've done is we've said, regardless of your email, you could have an FDA email, a CMS, or a CDC email. Everyone who signs up with one of those domains is part of the HHS Yammer account. And that's the whole idea, is to promote information sharing among everyone in HHS.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's hit upon some of your other parties. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Department of Health and Human Services Chief Information Officer.
This Christmas, when you put money in a Salvation Army red kettle, expect change. Expect homes and hearts to be filled with warmth. Expect empty stomachs and hungry souls to be fed. Expect need and despair to be transformed by hope and joy. When you donate, expect the Salvation Army to do the most good with your contributions in our community and throughout the world. And when Christmas is a memory, expect those dealing with disaster, poverty, and addiction to experience life-changing differences every day of the year, all thanks to your continued generosity. Whether you give at our kettles or at SalvationArmyNCA.org, expect change for the better. The Salvation Army National Capital Area Command, doing the most good.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Department of Health and Human Services Chief Information Officer. Now, Frank, before break, we were talking a little bit about one of your main priorities, collaboration through the Yammer tool. What else are you working on? What else do you hope to get done, again, over the next year or so?
A lot of it, I think, comes back to this idea of working as one enterprise. So I'd like to promote modernization of some of our systems right now that brings together disparate systems under one. So one of the things that we're working on right now is consolidation of our HRIT systems. We have many HRIT systems throughout HHS. We're consolidating them and modernizing them at the same time. So right now they're running on PeopleSoft 8.9. We're going to upgrade them to PeopleSoft 9.0. But most importantly, we're going to outsource them to a shared service provider so that, again, we can focus on the things that we add the greatest value to, things that are really essential to the mission, and let other people who live and breathe some of these commodity IT things do it better than we can do it. And HR is a really good example. It'll be great to have one HR system for all of HHS. We'll have better awareness into the number of employees and where those employees are and knowledge of those employees across the entire HHS enterprise by consolidating them. But most importantly, we're going to save some money.
Interesting that you guys are going to a shared service provider. You don't hear too much about that anymore, but I know some agencies are definitely looking into it. How far into the process are you? Is there an RFP out, or is this just in the early stages?
We're pretty far down the road. We haven't yet pulled the trigger. I think we're going to within a few weeks. We're very much looking at a shared service provider that is elsewhere in government, so there won't be an RFP. We will, assuming all of our due diligence plays out as it's looking as it will right now, we will simply turn over the keys to our HR systems to another federal agency that does it for many federal agencies. And hopefully in about a year, 15 months, be up and running in total on their systems.
And from a savings standpoint, do you have any estimates yet about in terms of what kind of percentage of savings you could see?
Right now, obviously, there are some upfront costs to the migration and the upgrade, but I think we're talking about something in the order of 20-25% annual operating savings.
And obviously, with the budget crunch coming that everyone's expecting, that kind of savings can be put back into mission or at least saved totally and be cut from your budget. That's part of the hope, I imagine?
It most certainly is. You know, as I said, I think it's a balance. On the one hand, we want to modernize and we want better information, and that's what HRIT consolidation is enabling. But it's also enabling cost savings. And we're all looking at a 10% cut in our IT budgets in 2014. So we need to be sensible about the investments we're making this year that are going to get us there.
Another priority that you guys just released, a mobile strategy. Let's discuss that a little bit, because obviously mobile is a big issue. A lot of people spending a lot of time around it. What's that mobile strategy say, and how will it help, obviously, employees meet your mission better?
Actually, we didn't release the mobile strategy. I believe that there was a FOIA request that resulted in a mobile strategy that we were working on being published publicly. That was our Chief Technology Officer Council, CTO Council, took the lead, I believe, back in January of 12, and put out some requirements for a mobile strategy. The department still hasn't settled on that mobile strategy at this point, but we're heading in the direction of the mobile strategy that you saw.
Right now, in terms of from a direction standpoint, I mean, obviously mobile is big. It's something that every agency, every CIO is kind of dealing with. Where do you see it impacting HHS? If your strategy is not quite ready yet, but obviously it's already starting to impact HHS in some ways.
Well, I think mobile is impacting the entire United States, whether we're talking about enterprises, governments, or consumers. Mobile is a huge part of the future of the IT environment. So we're big into mobile. We're big into it in terms of enabling our employees to be more productive, and we're big into it in terms of providing tools to the American public to interact with the agency and its operating divisions through mobile devices. So just speaking about the employee side of that, I think that our focus is going to be on enabling employees to use the tool of their choice, because ultimately everyone has a different personality and enjoys, some enjoy the keyboard on a BlackBerry, others enjoy the app environment on an iPhone or an Android.
So am I hearing a BYOD path there or not quite?
That's the direction we're heading. We haven't made that commitment yet because, as you know, there are lots of I's that need to be dotted and T's crossed to be able to get to a BYOD environment. But we would love to get there if it's at all feasible, rolling out a mobile device management system so that we can have BYOD throughout the department.
All right, something obviously to follow up with you when that strategy is finally released, and hopefully it will be released publicly. One other big topic that we hear a lot about is cloud computing. You talked a little bit about it from an email standpoint, you know, maybe something that HHS would look into would be collaboration tools, email as a service. Where else are you looking at cloud computing to impact HHS's mission?
Cloud is, in many ways, part of our overall strategy in just about everything. I talked before about a collaboration tool in the cloud. The cloud enables things to be possible at lower cost and with better availability. So we're very much into the cloud. We have begun moving some applications to the cloud in line with the OMB guidance to do so. But we're taking sort of a bigger picture look at it. And in 2013, we are looking at putting out a large procurement for cloud services. I imagine that there'll be multiple awardees to that procurement. And what we're hoping to do with that is make it possible for programs, for our operating division CIOs, from everyone across the department to take advantage of those cloud vehicles so that we can, well, first and foremost, provide great service at great cost by having a single vehicle. But secondly, avoid cloud sprawl, which is an increasing concern in an agency as large and diverse as HHS. One concern that we have is that we're going to see many, many different cloud providers coming into the agency, and we won't know where all of our data is and under what terms of service it's being protected.
I think that's one of the biggest concerns of agencies and CIOs like yourself about, you know, where the data is and how it's being protected. What kind of stuff do you see that you guys are doing maybe short-term?
A little governance group so that people who are considering cloud vehicles have somewhere to go within the agency and say, this is what we're doing, this does fit with your strategy, with your objective. So in the midterm, our cloud strategy is an attempt to allow the various operating divisions across the agency to say, listen, this scale that I need to add, the additional applications that I have, can go out to the cloud because there is a FedRAMP certified cloud provider out there, and HHS has made it easy for me to use that vehicle. That will help us in data center consolidation and in preventing new data centers from being built, because those requirements will increasingly be able to be satisfied by the cloud.
Give me a sense, what should vendors know about working with your office?
One of the things we're going to be doing at HHS is standing up a vendor management office. We haven't dealt with vendors in a consistent and concerted way at HHS. It's been directly through the operating divisions, and many different arrangements have been struck. We're hoping that we can identify things that we all consider a win, whether it's one of our operating divisions or the Office of the Secretary. And those things are going to be coordinated by the Vendor Management Office. So that Vendor Management Office will get its start early in 2013, and it'll be a vehicle for vendors who approach HHS to offer their wares. At the you talked about it earlier, cost savings. Cost savings are a really big driver across the government and certainly in HHS. We think that consolidating those buying decisions for foundational technology, for enterprise license agreements, for example, we think that's best done by a vendor management office. And where it makes sense, we're going to let the vendor management office take the lead in working with vendors and coming up with agreements that allow the operating divisions to get what they need at a better price.
You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Department of Health and Human Services Chief Information Officer. Frank, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Happy to have done it, Jason. Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Really? One website to find all government and military events happening in our area?
It's about time. Why didn't I think of that?
I know. With GovEvents.com, it's so easy to find government and military-related events happening near me and around the world. I can search by keyword, date, location, live events versus webcasts, and so much more. And best of all, it's completely free.
Seriously? I can't believe I haven't heard of the site before. What is it again?
It's GovEvents.com, the best place to find government events that matter to you, near you.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.